providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope you all enjoyed those first two segments with Richard Postma. I know some of the gold bugs haven't liked some of Doc's calls when it comes to the precious metals, but boy, oh boy, he has been fairly accurate through the many years that I've been chatting with him. Another person that has been very accurate in calling some of the recent market moves is Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, last time we had you on the show, you were, I think I can say, fairly bearish on the broad markets. And this is coming off of a time when I know a lot of people were pointing bearishly at the broad averages because of some of the weak breadth readings we were seeing about two-thirds of the way through last year. You were still on the bullish side, saying you still saw some upside in the markets, and you were spot on in that, where the markets did continue to go higher, and really their most recent all-time high, at least for the S&P, was pretty much right at the turn into 2022. Now we are seeing weakness. And in all fairness, as I said, last time you were on the show, you were bearish. We've seen a fairly healthy sell-off here in markets, but it hasn't even been that long of a sell-off in terms of time frame. What do you think, Dana? Are we at or at least close to a more solid bottom for the markets?
Thanks, Corey. Well, I think from a shorter-term basis, last week we saw a good capitulatory low, at least, again, on a short-term basis. We saw three things that we like to see. We saw key technical levels tested and held. We saw extreme bearishness in terms of investor sentiment. We saw including some all-time, some historically high hedging readings, whether it's from the options market or inverse ETF market. Saw a ton of hedging activity. Also, we saw some washout readings in terms of breadth measures. So things like new lows, especially in the NASDAQ. I know there are a lot more issues now, but even on a percentage basis, we saw, one of the five highest levels of new lows on the NASDAQ that we've seen since the crash of 87. So we did see sufficient evidence of at least a near-term capitulatory low last week. Now we're seeing, since then, we've seen a really nice bounce, which we expected. We did cover shorts last week into this bounce. We expected it just to be a reflexive or retracement bounce ahead of another retest of last week's lows, or potentially another wave down. So that's unknown, but without a doubt, I think the bounce we've seen over the last week or so is definitely one to be sold into or even shorted.
Well, that's an interesting perspective, Dana, because there's a lot of the mainstream media is proclaiming that we've had our low now, and now that this bounce is just the beginning of the next leg higher. But the way you're looking at it, you see it more as a relief rally then, that maybe there's a little bit room left to the upside, but would you be shorting it here then if you expect it to go down and retest the previous lows or possibly break to a new low?
Yeah, well, we did start shorting it again yesterday. So we have some significant hedges back on as of yesterday with the S&P and the Dow, especially reaching some key resistance levels yesterday in the chart. So we're getting a big sell-off today from those levels. Whether that bounce is over or not, I can't definitively say, because we do have potential further upside here in the near term in the smaller cap, in the Russell 2000, the broader measures. Whether that move comes to fruition, we do see a further bounce here, I'm not sure. If we do, we will continue to sell and continue to more aggressively short this bounce ahead of, like I said, an expected retest or even a new down leg.
Dana, how worried do we have to be about a crash scenario here where money has already started to shift out of the markets, even into more defensive positions? What if it picks up steam and the bottom just drops out?
Well, I mean, it's certainly possible. You've seen what prevents that from occurring usually is a strong technical or fundamental an internal foundation below the market, especially in terms of broad constructive technical patterns in the broader market of stocks. We've seen pretty much that foundation taken away after we tried to break out in late October, early November in the broader market, and then the things like the advanced decline lines. those breakouts immediately failed. And since then, we've seen slow or steady, I should say, deterioration in terms of breadth, in terms of the internals, in terms of the broad market, even as the averages held up into the new year, as you mentioned. So we've seen a substantial amount of deterioration below the surface, which removes a lot of that support, a lot of that that foundation that would prevent a serious, like a crash type scenario, or at least continued waterfall type decline. So we did see that washout of the capitulatory near-term low last week. That doesn't mean that it can't eventually be broken and continue to see lower lows. So I would say just removing that foundation technically within the broader market does introduce the possibility that we could continue to waterfall decline after whatever near-term bounce or reflexive bounce runs its course here.
Well, Dana, when you say that you saw that capitulatory low last week because of some of the sentiment readings, because of some of the metrics you were watching, what would you be looking for to symbolize that it really is the major low, at least for a short for the medium term? Because obviously we've had that bounce out of those conditions. Would you expect the sentiment readings to get even worse? Would you expect there to be even more 52-week lows and even worse breadth readings? What would be the signal for you that it's kind of an all clear to go long again?
I would expect on a retest of those last week's lows, or even a slight undercut of those lows. In fact, in the S&P 500, I would expect a slight undercut of those lows. And in terms of the breadth and sentiment readings, I would expect to see readings that are not as bad as last week. So kind of a positive divergence in terms of breadth and sentiment. That would give me more confidence that it might be a successful retest, and we could do put in a more substantial and more sustainable bounce. If we do see higher or worse readings in terms of breadth, in terms of sentiment, then that's indicative of potential further or next down wave that takes us well below last week's low. So that'll be something, that's a good question. That'll be something that certainly we'll have our eye on.
So Dan, are you looking at any other markets or sectors to give you a bit of a heads up on if that weakness or if another breakdown is going to come? I'm thinking mostly bond market, maybe if interest rates continue to rise and that tightens a little bit of the free money available, or currencies or other international markets. Anything else that you're looking at to give you some heads up on where that next move is going to go?
Well, it's interesting that we're not seeing, you know, the typical flight to safety in the bond market. We're seeing yields spike today, even as stocks sell off. So that is an interesting and probably not a comforting move in the markets to see. And if we do see rates continue to spike up, they're testing, you know, long-term highs right now. If they do continue to spike, that might even exacerbate the selling even more in the stock market, to be honest. So that is typically you're seeing some sort of, I would even call it, you know, bonds aren't typically a sufficient hedge in terms of one stock portfolio in a nasty correction like this. But at least you're seeing money pouring in somewhere. Right now, we're not even seeing that. So I would be even more concerned if we do see a breakout in rates, which I expect that we will see eventually, whether it's very shortly or down the line a little bit. But that is one aspect of this sell-off that is unusual in recent years, certainly. And like I said, not very comforting indication if you are a bull.
Well, speaking of hedges and the bonds, I wonder about the precious metals, what your outlook there is, Dana. I would have expected a little bit more of a bid into gold in particular, just with all the weakness across so many sectors, but it really has been stuck in a channel and a range. It hasn't really done much. What's your outlook on gold for the maybe short to medium term?
Well, you hit it on the head. It hasn't done anything for many, many months, maybe a year. So, you know, our longer term, we are bullish on the precious metals complex. We think last year or the 2020 high was a test of the high from last decade. and we're just working off that that rally now and consolidating that rally now, and eventually we do move on to new highs. When that is, I'm not sure. I'm not particularly bullish or bearish on gold, and a little slightly bearish on silver right here, but like I said, it's pretty much in a trading range right now. I think the miners, after we thought it may, they might be breaking out a little bit a couple of weeks ago, pulled the rug out from under the miners again. So especially if the stock market continues to correct, the miners certainly will not be probably a safe haven unless gold and silver start taking off to the upside. So that I would not be, certainly would not be hedging stock market risk in the miners, but gold and silver, you know, they're going at their own pace. Eventually, I do expect another big up leg. When that starts, I'm not sure.
Sounds like broadly, Dana, you're just seeing weakness almost across the board, or at least a lack of strength in any sector. Does that simply have to do with, I know you don't like following this, but central banks changing course, money becoming a bit tighter, and, well, there just isn't that much money out there as compared to last year, so markets broadly in most sectors tend to correct.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, listen, if you remove the Fed put, at least shrunk the size of the Fed put in the immediate term, I think the Fed has made it clear that they're not going to change course from their thinking anytime soon. So in the immediate term, that removes a lot of the confidence, a lot of the perhaps liquidity that would normally be propping up not just stocks, but a lot of the assets. So in the near term, I think that makes it psychologically, it makes it very difficult for long investors in most markets.
It really does. And that's the big change for this year. And we're all guessing as to how long the Fed will go through the tightening process and, quite frankly, how the markets are going to react. But right now, we are getting markets broadly pricing in the tightening. And, well, that's causing a bit of weakness in slower markets, especially the lack of upside movement. Dana, thank you again for your time. As always, great having you on this weekend show again. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll chat again in another couple weeks.
Thanks a lot. Take care, guys.